Hi, we're Mylon and Kay Yurkovich, and welcome to Club New Life Members. We are doing a series of talks, and the first one is 12 questions that will change any relationship. And it's based off of the comfort circle, specifically something we call the comfort circle guide for the listener. And what is a comfort circle? The comfort circle is a biblically devised circle of communication where we actually sit down and we learn to listen with an extended listening time. Most of us don't know how to listen with extended listening. We're quick to form our answers, we're quick to defend, we're quick to get angry, we don't listen well. And there's four steps to the comfort circle. One is awareness, that we would have awareness either within ourselves as to what we're feeling, or we're asking the other person what the awareness is and what they're feeling. The second step is to engage, which is to tell somebody else what is going on inside of you. The third step is to explore, which is to listen and ask more probative questions and find out more about what's going on the inside. And that is really where this particular exercise is going to provide abundant answers as to what's happening inside another person's heart, mind, and soul. Fourthly, there is a resolve or resolution where we ask the person, what do you need or how can I help you or love you there? And so those are the four steps right. of the comfort circle. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, when do you use the comfort circle? Mm-hmm. We say it can be used for any conversation, but particularly when you're stressed or you see stress in someone else, uh-huh. or you know, you see your kids aren't doing well, your spouse, maybe it's a friend, then that's when you want to say, let's take a trip around the comfort circle, because it requires some extended listening so that you need a little time, because you're going to listen for a while and we're going to help you know how to do that.
Speaking of listening, it's really the hardest part of the whole comfort circle. Learning to be a good listener is not easy.
No, it's not. And when we were teaching people the comfort circle, what we found and what they told us is that the hardest part for me is asking questions and finding out more. I'm like, I don't know what to ask. So we came up with 12 questions, and we're going to go through those questions. And they're available on howwelove.com under freebies, this sheet of questions, and also on newlife.com. Mm-hmm. Has a copy that you can get, and so we're encouraging you just to try this, because I think you'll be astounded as to where these questions can lead a conversation.
Absolutely. The first question is, share with me one thing that is stressing you or concerns you or is upsetting you. Now, the reason this question is so important is because, number one, we all are stressed every day. Number two, we all have a stress response, something that we do when we're stressed. We shut down, or we start talking, or we start eating, or we start controlling things, or we start cleaning, or we start getting chippy with the people around us and impatient. So share with me one thing that is stressing you. That's the very first question. We're asking a person to really identify the stressor and to identify it. What's the next question?
The next question is, use a list of soul words, also available at New Life and at howwelove.com. It's a list of feeling words, and pick the top three feelings that you feel when the stressor is happening. Mm-hmm. And this is a really important question, and you really need the list of soul words, because oftentimes people don't know what they feel, or they use too many words, so we're limiting you to three, only three feelings. And people often find a word on the list that they never would have chosen had they not been looking down the list, and that can often be the key to a great conversation.
Kay, why are feelings important? A lot of times we have cognitive discussions, philosophical ones. Why feelings?
Well, feelings are always linked to stresses, mm-hmm. and we often just don't pay attention to what the feelings are, or we have ways of dealing with them that aren't really all that effective. And so when we say out loud to another person what we're feeling and we identify it, sometimes it increases our own awareness, and it certainly helps the people living with us or working with us understand what's inside right now. Then question three is rate the feelings. So the question is, take each of these feelings now and rate them from 1 to 10, 1 is low and 10 is high. So now we're asking you to give an indication of how strong are these feelings. Maybe one of the ones you chose will be much stronger, maybe not. And when they're very strong, then that's a sign that we really do need some processing. And this is what the comfort circle is designed to do.
Actually, emotions were a new language to Kay and me once upon a time. We didn't know how to identify our feelings or emotions at all. And so we had to really rely on that soul word list because we didn't know what to say about what was going on inside.
I didn't have any words. No. Now I can, but the list was so helpful.
That's right. Then after we rate the feelings, we stop and ask the individual, with this stressor and these feelings that are going on inside of you, what is happening to your body? Specifically, question four is physical reactions, or you could say bodily reactions or physiological reactions. And it goes on and says, well, how do you experience these feelings in your body? Try to describe places of pressure, tension, pain, tightness. We ask people to pay attention to their other senses and their other things that they do, like breathing. We say, well, when you're experiencing these things and these feelings, has your breathing changed? Is it deep? Is it shallow? Is it fast or slow? In addition, what's your heart rate doing? For a lot of us, when we're stressed, adrenaline shoots into our system, and all of a sudden our heart is racing and our mouth gets dry. So we want to know what's happening in the body. And Kay, a lot of people can't identify what's happening in their body.
Yeah. We ask this question because really emotions often start in the body. Mm-hmm. And it isn't till later that we start to recognize that we're actually feeling something. And paying attention to your body can help you really understand how to lower that stress. If you're breathing shallow, in a shallow way, maybe you need to breathe more deeply. So paying attention to your body is important, and this question can just give you awareness to even pay attention to that.
Yeah, the mind and the body and that connection is more powerful than the average person realizes. Mm-hmm. They are linked together, and some have even said that our gut is a second brain.
Yeah.
And that's how we can feel things in our gut sometimes,
right,
that we don't have the ability to articulate yet with our words. The next thing we want to discuss, number five, question five, is, well, what were the behaviors or the actions or what did I do with that series of feelings? Specifically, the question says, what did you do? What were the behaviors? What were the reactions because of these feelings? How did you express the emotions? Or what actions did you take? Now, this can have a variety based upon each of our individual attachment styles and histories. For you, Kay, you would just kind of shut down.
Right. Early on, before we understood any of this, my reaction to stress was just to detach, sort of go dead, and I sort of put a curtain up between mm-hmm. me and the world. And that was very automatic. It wasn't really a conscious choice. It was just something I learned to do as a kid, and I continued to do as an adult.
And I would start cleaning.
Right.
Or I would start being busy straightening or sorting things out or cleaning my desk off or things like that. Why? Because as a child, I had learned to do that when I was stressed in my family of origin. And I would stay in from playing and I would go clean to try and figure out what the emotional climate was. Some people shut down, some people bust into a rage, some people go run, some people are aggressive towards others. And there's usually consequences with those behaviors.
So the next question, number six, is, were there any consequences because of these feelings, actions, or behaviors? And sometimes we don't really stop to think even how we manage stress mm-hmm. at all, let alone mm-hmm. what are the consequences as we deal with stress. You know, in my home, I didn't learn to go to people. So I would have to use a thing or an activity or it might be shopping, it might be something distracting to lower my stress levels. And, you know, I now learn to go to you when I'm stressed and ask to do the comfort circle. And so it's made such a difference.
Well, the consequences too, Kay, if you do go shopping, one of the consequences might be you might spend money we don't have, or you might start creating debt on a credit card that all of a sudden spins out of control. Or we hurt people that because of the stress we've had, we lash out and we harm people, or we withdraw and leave them wondering. And so there's always consequences. If we're not actually aware of and regulating our stress responses, there will be consequences to the actions and things that we do as a result of the feelings. And then, Kay, we have to examine question number 7, the beliefs and assumptions.
Right. So this is talking about, what are we really thinking and what are our assumptions when we're stressed and having these feelings? And the question says, when you have these feelings and reactions, what are your beliefs or assumptions about God, yourself, and others? Mm. So it's sort of 3 questions really wrapped into one. But many times when we're stressed, we're not dealing with positive emotions.
No.
We're anxious, we're disappointed, we're overwhelmed, we're sad, we're frustrated. And so as we process through, we want to know, when you have this cluster of feelings, you probably have beliefs about, well, where is God in all of this? You have beliefs about, what does this mean about me? And you have beliefs about, what are you going to expect from other people? So this question is designed to help you explore those 3 areas.
This is a fabulous question, Kay, because a lot of times people have intense shame relative to themselves, and they think, because I feel this way, I feel so negative about myself. Or if another person's involved in what they feel or the stress, then they feel so antagonistic toward that person.
Right.
Or why does God allow these things to happen? So this is very theological, philosophical, psychological, and also self-reflective. What's going on inside of me when I'm thinking these things? Question 8 is childhood feelings. And
this is an important one.
This is really important, and I alluded to it earlier. But childhood feelings, the question says, did you experience these feelings or this feeling as a child? What happened? How old were you? When I'm stressed, I will often feel overwhelmed and anxious. And perhaps I will feel physiologically excited, and I can start to even feel adrenaline shooting through my system, which then throws off my judgment, and I feel like my thinking is less clear. And so when I think of those, even as an adult, I say to myself, you know what? These are familiar feelings. These aren't brand new to me. I felt these in my home growing up. As a matter of fact, I can remember 10 years old feeling the same cluster of feelings when I'm stressed. I'd be worried. I'd be, praying like crazy, hoping God would change things. I had these elaborate prayers I would pray at nighttime, hoping that the stress would go away in my family of origin. And so when I could begin to understand that what was going on me now, in my life right now, was something I had been doing for decades. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I had a different appreciation of what was going on in my life. Tell me about question 9, Kay, the childhood beliefs then.
Question 9, if you had these feelings as a child, how did you find relief? Did you form any beliefs about yourself or your family members because of these experiences? So again, when we're stressed, we all need relief. Mm-hmm. And so a child will attempt to get relief in one way or another from their stressful emotions. They might detach. They might just be anxious all the time. But relief often doesn't come through people.
Right.
And the whole point of the comfort circle is that we learn to take our stresses and our feelings into relationship with God and with one another so that we can really find relief that is relational instead of non-relational.
You know, one of my beliefs, Kay, from my childhood was that if somebody else was not okay, I wasn't okay either.
Right.
So I had to do everything I could do to make that person better so that I could then therefore be better. There was this intense tie to other people, specifically parents. As adults, we have to learn to be unaffected, if you will, by other people's behaviors so that we can rise and fall independently of one another with respect to highs and lows of emotions, et cetera, et cetera. Question number 10 is relating the past to the present. This then becomes increasingly more interesting because we ask the question, how much of your current feelings and reactions in the stressor or the thing that's stressing you is about the past versus the present? How much of this is really something that's pre-programmed in me to loom forward into the presence in a very with a very large emphasis or powerful place in my life? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I began to realize that when I was stressed in the present as a young adult and even middle age and now a more senior adult, it was very much, in many cases, what I was feeling was 75 to 80% about the past that was pre-programmed in me physiologically to have that response just like in a nanosecond. It would pop up in my body.
And we tend to blame each other for these responses we often have, where in reality, they've been happening inside of us for years and years, and we just haven't stopped to think about how the past is tied into the present moment.
Well, if you made me feel that stressor, I can think that all the feelings that I'm feeling right now inside in totality are because of you.
Right.
And the reality is, well, Kay only caused 20% of it or 15. The other 85% of it was from my history that it gets carried along with me until I stop and face it. Then we have to be able to bring our feelings and needs into relationship. The question says, can you summarize, or the listener would say, and you would ask someone, well, could you summarize by making a clear statement about your feelings along with a request for help? Mm-hmm. Such as, when I feel thus and so, I need thus and so. Boy, did we get lost right here at the very beginning. Because A, we didn't know what we felt.
Right.
B, we didn't know how strongly they tied percentage-wise to the past. Mm-hmm. And C, we didn't know how to ask for comfort, what you would provide that would be relief for me. I think one of the most profound changes in our marriage came when I could say to Kay, I feel anxious. When I'm anxious, I get very scared inside, and I need to make sure you're okay so I can be okay. And the change took place when I could say to her, I'm anxious. This is historical. It's far less about you. It's far more about my history. And so I just want you to tell you how difficult my history was, how anxiety-producing my history was. And then I think I just need a hug. Or I think I need comfort, or I need somebody to reassure me.
Yeah, it took me a while to answer that question. I thought I was doing very well just to tell you what I felt. And then I remember the first time you ever asked me, like, well, then what do you need? And I was like,
I don't know.
I don't know. And many times we get that response. And really what is true is feelings linked to needs. If you don't know what you feel, you won't know what you need.
Right.
And so it's an important thing to pay attention and then to try and think about, well, what would make me feel better, particularly relationally?
Then the last thing, Kay, is to summarize. And, and tell us a little bit more the last question and then summarize. And how do we wrap this up?
The last question says, just to summarize what you heard and just kind of go back to the top. Oftentimes when we have couples working through this sheet, we'll actually have them take notes on this piece of paper because we want them to remember and not have to struggle to go back to the beginning again. So a summary just shows the person that you're listening to, I've got this. When you have this stressor, you feel this, your body does this, you have physical reactions that are following, and then you have consequences that look like this, and you form beliefs about your God, yourself, and others, and you just sort of summarize in your own words. And then going back to the need, if they've requested something of you, you need to give an honest assessment about what can you and what can't you do. And we try and make those requests for help from another person very doable, small chunk requests, not like, well, I need you to be a more attentive husband for the rest of my life. You know, that's a very big goal and something that you can't.
It's too global.
Mm-hmm. So to say, I just need you to come home from work and make 5 minutes of eye contact and just tell me three feelings about your day. And that would be a big difference for me.
Mm-hmm. And in so doing, what have we done as a result of this? These 12 questions? Why will it change any relationship? It will powerfully change any close relationship, whether it's a marriage, a friendship, a parent to child, a parent to adult child, that we would actually sit down and do more than just react to their reaction. Because that's what most people do.
Right.
They react to another person's reactivity. And this slows the process down.
It slows it way down. And we got the greatest email the other day from a family that had learned the comfort circle. And the husband and wife were practicing it. And then they realized that they needed to do this with their kids. So they had an 8-year-old daughter. And they told her about the concept of the comfort circle and taught her about the steps and took time to really listen to her. And her grandma came to visit, and she said, "Grandma, my family is we're doing something really different. We're doing the comfort circle, and you ask all about what you're feeling inside, and you feel so much better at the end. Would you like to do that with me, Grandma?" And then she was even asking her friends if they would like to do the comfort circle. So it's a wonderful thing to teach your kids, because they can learn early on to identify their feelings and go to people for help instead of things.
Lastly, if I really learn to listen to someone and I listen to the depth mm-hmm. that these 12 questions and guiding principles provide, I'm going to all of a sudden have compassion and empathy for that other person. With compassion and empathy, all relationships change. Because I see that much of the adult behavior or reactivity or stress responses are based upon a history, often with pain mm-hmm. or neglect or abandonment or abuse or trauma in it. And it allows me to have empathy and compassion and see through the reactive behavior and see the history or the soul or the little person inside. Mm-hmm. When people are reacting in our offices, we'll often ask them, "How old are you right now?" How old do you feel right now as you're having this reactivity? And they will quite frequently say,
7, 8, 9, 10.
And I'll say, "Oh, so we have a 10-year-old versus a 9-year-old here in my office today who are feeling these things." Well, if we know that, all of a sudden, you know, I see couples reach out and reach out for the other person's hand. I see tears coming down. I see empathy for themselves as well as the other person. And this is a game changer. It has changed our life. It has changed many other people's lives. And we hope that this helps you begin to build. And I love the little girl, because she talked to a lot of people that were her friends, her grandmother, et cetera, et cetera. We hope this helps. This was 12 questions that will change any relationship. It's changed ours, and we hope it changes yours. Thanks for watching.